Amen. All right. How are we? Okay. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And one of the things that we teach in our covenant class, which, by the way, we have another one coming up next week. There's a sign up at the Welcome Center. If you think down the road that this might be a place that you want to call your church home, that class sometimes helps us decide that. But one of the things we talk about is the path. And right out in our foyer on the wall, right outside these doors, is an illustration of the path. It is a discipleship path. It's a five-step path, and it has nothing to do with let's just say that it helps us determine where we are. It's sort of a point of self-evaluation of where we are in our walk with the Lord. The first step on the path is salvation and baptism, because we believe that everything starts with Jesus. That's what Scripture teaches. Everything starts with Jesus. And the second step on the path is to be involved in a small group where you are accountable and rubbing shoulders with brothers and sisters and walking together as you grow in the Lord. By the way, that's our primary strategy, and how we connect people to Jesus is through our small groups. And so that's the second step on the path. The third step on the path is service, because here's what we believe. We believe you can come to church, and you can come to church 52 weeks out of the year. We believe you can read your Bible daily till you're cross-eyed. We believe that you can pray till you're blue in the face, but until you're using the gifts that God has given you in service, you'll never feel complete. You'll never feel like you are where you need to be in the Lord. And we also believe that when you serve, you are invested, more invested in what goes on here. However, I will say this concerning service. It is possible to serve in a way that leaves you bitter, stressed, or distant. Okay, so understand what I'm saying, that part of being a disciple is serving. But there is, however, a way to serve in which you feel stressed, bitter, or distant from the mission that we're trying to accomplish. And if you want proof, we're going to see that here in Luke chapter 10. We're going to begin in verse 38 this morning. So I'm just going to read this text, and then we'll come back to it. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing's necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Now in this passage, we read about Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus, and we read about Martha who served. And it's almost as if Martha gets a bad rap, right? Like we're like, oh, Martha, she's over here doing all these things. And listen, what Martha was doing was good. Okay, like how many of us, if Jesus came to our house, how many of us would not just stop what we're doing and serve and make sure things are clean, make sure things are put away, make sure he has a good meal to eat? Like what Martha is doing is a good thing. Listen, service isn't bad. In fact, you see that service is part of the life, part of a believer's life. In fact, last week what we talked about was how the apostles, they went out from time to time, the disciples. He sends out 72, and they go to different places doing the things, serving the people the way that Jesus did. The text in between here is the Good Samaritan. You say, are we skipping that? No, we preached that in February. Remember when we had Racial Reconciliation Day and I preached the early service? LaRon from Gilcrease Baptist Church came and preached the second. He preached. And so if you want to see the Good Samaritan, how it fits in, just go back to, I think it was February 10th, whenever we had that, whenever LaRon preached the second service, I preached the first on the Good Samaritan. But again, the Good Samaritan, what is he doing? He's serving. He's coming alongside this man who is hurting, and he's serving. All of Scripture teaches that service is in the life of a believer. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it talks about as each has received a gift, use it to serve another. That you and I are called to serve not just our Lord, but we are called to serve each other. But something in this text that we just read, there's something about the way Martha served that ends up with her being scolded by Jesus. And so apparently there is a good way to serve, a right way to serve, and a wrong way with a wrong motive to serve. And so what we're interested in is sort of shying away from what Martha's doing and her motivation behind her service. And we're more interested in gospel-centered serving. You know, what does it mean to serve in the name of Jesus? What does it mean to serve the church? What does it mean to serve each other? What does it mean to serve the lost? We're going to see that today in gospel-centered service. You guys with me? All right, number one, here's what we see. Number one, in this text, we see that service is not the goal. Service is not the goal. So look with me in verse 38. It says, he went on his way. Jesus entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus listening to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And honestly, how many of us here are Marthas? You know, again, what we do if someone's coming over to our house is we'll spend 4 hours cleaning because we don't want people to see how we live, right? And so we'll spend 4 hours cleaning and putting away all the mess and we'll just wear ourselves out serving to impress people. Maybe that we don't even like all that much sometimes. All right, we spend all of our time working, trying to impress someone. Oh, look how clean your house is. Look how great the meal is. And so we spend that so much time, and then we're worried. We're worried. What do they really think? Oh, I forgot to clean up that clutter over there. What are they thinking about me? And so if we're not careful, we serve creating this high stress situation in a time where we're supposed to just enjoy fellowship and yes, treat each other with hospitality, but a lot of time the joy goes out of what we're doing and we can't enjoy each other's company because we're too worried about what someone is thinking about us. Like that, it appears that that's what's going on here with Martha because she is wearing herself out trying to take care of Jesus. I mean, how many of us are Marthas? I mean, how many of us are so Martha that we don't even invite people over to our house because we're worried about all we have to do or worried about what they see? Yet here she is, and the problem that in her mind, the problem is Mary. Now you can sense there's a little bit of sibling rivalry going on here. This sounds like a conversation that we have almost daily in my house. Because we'll give the kids some chores, tell them to clean up after dinner or whatever, and it's always, Evan's not helping or Allie's not helping. Like, that's the argument that my kids want to have. It sounds like they're 8 years old here. Sounds like Martha's saying, I'm doing all the work, Jesus. Mary's not helping. I mean, that's what she says in verse 40. She went up to him, verse 40, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? What is she saying? I'm here. I'm doing all the work. And Mary's just sitting around. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere not to be lazy? Maybe it's all about me. Maybe for Martha, Jesus is over here teaching and Mary's at his feet and everyone's listening. And no one's recognizing what she's doing. No one's complimenting her on what she has worked so hard to do. You see that there's something about when service becomes our goal, it becomes a box to check off. Service becomes not about the Lord. Service becomes about me and me getting recognized and me doing my work. See, Martha is here and she's inward focused and she's using her service to point that out. See, in her mind, Jesus should be impressed by her clean house. Jesus should be impressed by the good meal that she prepared. Jesus should be impressed with her hospitality. And maybe she's thinking, Jesus should like me better because all the work I'm putting in to take care of him. Is that our motivation and why we serve? If you serve in any capacity, do you do so because you think that God would somehow like you more, treat you better, give you more stuff if you did something for him? It's almost as if she's trying to earn his favor in how she serves. See, that's not gospel-centered. See, Jesus doesn't delight in our service if the heart's not there for the right motivation. In fact, Psalm chapter 51, verse 67, David writes, you don't delight in sacrifice, or I'd give it. You're not pleased with burnt offering. Think about all the work that goes into a sacrifice of an Old Testament animal. You got to go out to the field and you got to pick the best animal out. I mean, you got to compare animals. It's a process to compare where you get to the best, because that's what God demands. And then you got to catch the animal, and you got to bring it in, and you got to slaughter. You got to prepare the place. And if you've ever field dressed an animal, there's a lot of blood and stuff to clean up. All right, there's stuff that has to be disposed of. And you've got to gather wood for the fire, and you've got to make sure the knife is sharp. You've got to do all these things. David's saying you wouldn't delight in that. You don't delight in that, or I would have done it. But he does say in verse 17 of Psalm 51 that what God does delight in is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That's what he desires. And see, that's what Mary's doing. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus before she goes and serves. And he's teaching. And listen, if Mary's anything like me, there's things that Jesus says to do and to be and to pursue that I don't do. If Mary is anything like us, there's probably some sin being exposed as Jesus teaches. And so for her, for Mary, before she can get to service, her heart has to be right with the Lord. And her heart doesn't become right with the Lord by going and working harder, like Martha's doing. It's sitting at his feet and just being right. Just being right with him, with Jesus. See, that's what we do when we worship corporately. That's what it's about. It's about us coming and sitting underneath the authority of God through his word, not through what I say. I don't have much to bring. See, we come and we gather and we sit corporately underneath the word. We just sit at his feet. That's the goal for us today, this morning, just in this moment, is to just sit at his feet and then think of service. But see, here we see with Jesus' instruction to Martha that service is not the goal. And if we treat it that way, we're missing out. Because we're going to see what service is meant for. Number two, service is meant to be joyful. Service is meant to be joyful. Now just look at how Martha's described in verse 40. She's described as being distracted, right? In verse 41, she's described as being anxious and troubled about many things. She's not serving with gladness. She's distracted, and she's anxious, and she's troubled. I mean, how many times is that us when we come and serve? Whether it be you're serving in your small group, you're serving in Awana, you're serving, helping someone. We're about to be pulling some wire that we need help with on tomorrow and Tuesday night. Is that right, Scott? Pulling wire, some things that are behind the scenes. How many of us come to serve and we're like, oh, it's Wednesday night again. Here we go. Somebody's got to do it. You know, Psalm 100, verse 2 says to serve the Lord with gladness. Now, there are reasons we don't serve with gladness. One reason we don't serve with gladness is because we have sin in our lives. See, sin takes our view, our eyes off the Lord and His holiness and sovereignty, and it places our view on ourselves. We cannot serve the Lord in gladness whenever we're walking in sin. And so a lot of times, whenever we walk in sin, what we think the solution is, well, I guess I got to quit. Listen, that's not what Scripture teaches, and that's not what we teach. Anytime we're confronted with sin, the answer is repentance. It's not to withdraw, it's not to run, it's not to avoid service. It's to repent. But see, the reason we walk in a lack of gladness, a lack of joy in service is many times because of sin. Another reason is that we just serve for the sake of service. Oh, they still need more volunteers. No one signed up yet. I guess I'll do it. And we serve out of a sense of duty, right? Someone's got to do it. I guess that someone's me. And we right out of the gate, we have a bad attitude about it. Because it's not with joy, but it's with duty that we serve our Lord. You know, we treat it like military. I'll sign up for my 5-year commitment, or I'll sign up for my 6-month commitment, and then I'm out. Another reason we serve with a lack of gladness is that we just don't operate in our gifting. Scripture says that the moment the Holy Spirit saves you, He gives you a spiritual gift or gifts. And listen, what I've found is that when I'm walking in those gifts, there's a lot of excitement in what I do. And when I try to be something that God has not created me to be in the area of service, there's frustration there. When I grew up, I watched the Disney short cartoon Lambert. You remember that? So see, the storks are delivering the baby sheep to the mamas, and one stork messes up and he delivers a lion to the sheep instead of a baby lamb. And so this mom decides she's going to raise this baby lion cub as her own. And the Disney short story, okay? This isn't just things going on in my head. And this baby lion starts to grow up, and all the sheep make fun of him because he's bigger than them, and they think he's ugly compared to them, and he's good for nothing. And on top of that, he's a coward. He's afraid of his own reflection. This cowardly lion named Lambert. And he lives his life in sadness and frustration until the wolf attacks one night. And his mom is in trouble. And all of a sudden, instinct kicks in, and he comes roaring. And he sends that wolf down the road. And from that moment on, everyone looks at him differently because he's embraced who he is. See, whenever we embrace what God has called us to be, and we match our passions with our gifting, joy explodes. Now the question is, where do I find my gifts? Because that's the thing we do. We want to take a spiritual gift inventory, and I've taken that about 5 times and gotten about 8 different gifts. Okay, and I'm not gifted 8 different ways. Maybe it's what I had for dinner the night before that's kind of coming out in my answers. Here's where I found that we find our gifting. We find it in community. Right? In small groups where we are rubbing shoulders together and opportunities are coming up and we're volunteering for them and we're trying them and people are recognizing that we're gifted in areas. It happens in community, not anonymously. I've yet to preach on spiritual gift and somebody raise their hand, hospitality, and run out doing hospitable things. It doesn't happen in this context. We don't discover it here. We do in small groups. And we discover our gifting when we roll our sleeves up and get our hands dirty in ministry. What we found is that when a person, what they're passionate about, is paired in how they're gifted, joy explodes. And see, that's gospel-centered service whenever we're operating in our gifts. And Mary's not doing that. I mean, Martha's not doing that. She's angry. She's distracted. I feel like her gift is service. Like, I feel like she's doing it, but she's doing it with the wrong motives. And so there's a lack of joy because she's not looking how she needs to be at service. She is distracted with many things, and she's treating service as the goal, and it's not. So we see here that, number one, service is not the goal. Number two, service is meant to be joyful. And number three, we see that service happens, we serve out of the overflow of our heart. Okay, we serve out of the overflow of our heart. So look at verse 41. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious. You're troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." And what does he say? Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. So listen, Martha is distracted with many things. Jesus says, one thing is necessary. And Mary chose it. Now, what's Mary doing? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. She is absorbing encouragement from Jesus. She is confessing sins where she's not living up right to Jesus. See, all that happens in His presence. He convicts where we need to be convicted. He encourages where we need to be encouraged. There was one person that left full that night, and it was Mary. There was one person that left ready to serve that night, and it was Mary. She was ready to serve out of the overflow of her heart. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, in John chapter 12, this is a later date. This is about a week. John chapter 12 is about a week before Jesus is crucified, arrested and crucified. It says 6 days before the Passover, Jesus that came there to Bethany, where Lazarus was, that's the brother, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner from him there. Martha served. Lazarus was one reclining at the table. Then verse 3 talks about what Mary does. She takes this pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the whole house was filled with the fragrance. See, when we think of service, probably going in and anointing Jesus' feet and then getting down and rubbing your head on his feet, that's probably not something that we would have thought of doing. But Mary has proven that sitting at Jesus' feet sort of opens up this window towards what she could do for the Lord. And she does maybe the unthinkable. Martha's serving there, and she's not being talked down to this time, because she's probably figured it out after this conversation. Martha's still serving. She's serving the meal, doing that. But Mary, she's down on her feet before the Lord, anointing him. Basically, he's about to be crucified, and she's anointing his body for burial. That's the significance there. She serves. See, if we're not careful, we can think, well, I guess what I'm supposed to do is just come listen. I guess what I'm supposed to do is just read my Bible. That's my service. I guess what I'm supposed to do is just pray. That's my service. That's what Mary was doing, and she did the best thing. Listen, she got connected with Jesus, and then she went out and served, but it was out of the overflow of her heart, not with a sense of duty like Martha did. She was filled, and then she served from that overflow. I wonder how many of us don't serve because we have nothing to give. I wonder how many of us do serve but we still have nothing to give because we're running on empty. Matthew 12, verse 34, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So your encouragement over people, your walking through the messiness of sin with people, is dependent on what's going on in your heart. And what I found is that when my heart's not full of Christ, what comes out is much, much, much less than spectacular, to say it nicely. When we were in whenever we were in California, and Catherine was trying to recover from her surgery, and I was by myself, I had a few things. I had you praying for me. I had my journal, the 15 and a half, 13 and a half hour open heart surgery that Catherine was having. I had the journal that I was reading through from the day that she came home to us, about how we were praying for healing and ups and downs and all the things that we were praying for this little girl. I had that to read during those dark days. I had the Word to read during those dark days. I made it a point daily to share the gospel with a doctor, with a nurse, with another parent, with someone that came in. Listen, and God's grace was poured out. Listen, without me running to the well daily, I had nothing to bring. You so graciously allowed me to fly back on weekends to preach during that time and to be gone when I needed to. You so graciously allowed that. Listen, without running to the well deeply and sitting at the feet of Jesus daily, I had nothing to bring. According to Jesus, there's one necessary thing, and it's important for us to choose the good portion. That before we go out and serve, that we sit at His feet and we spend time with Him. Otherwise, we got nothing. You ever hear a guy preach a sermon and there's power there? And the next guy preached the exact same text, said almost the exact same way, and there's nothing? The difference is sitting at the feet of Jesus and His power being poured out. See, he is the one necessary thing is that we sit at the feet of Jesus, and then we serve out of that overflow. You want your service to be joyful? I don't know. I think I that's a weird question, but I'm really convinced that some people just enjoy being angry. No. I just want to serve. Leave me alone. If that's not you, if you want your service to be joyful, if you want your service to be meaningful, then you sit at His feet, listen to what He says, and then do it. And sometimes do it as repenting of sin. And sometimes do it is to go out and share the gospel. And sometimes to do it is to just get involved in some ministry that you haven't been involved in. But it all starts with sitting at His feet. See, it's at the overflow. The overflow is where He speaks. The overflow is where He leads us out of the mundane and into the extraordinary joy in service. Anyone relate? See, we're about to have an invitation. We're about to have a time of response. And it's for a couple of different things. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, and you sense Him calling you to become a Christian. Time's for you. know, maybe you've gone through the covenant class and you're ready to join the church. That's a time for you to share that with the church. Maybe you're feeling called to some sort of vocational ministry. And maybe God wants to use you in your future, in college for the kids growing up, or maybe God wants you to use you in your career, like Dennis and LaDonna are praying about helping a church planter down the road. Maybe God wants to use you in your retirement ministry. I found that if you're breathing, God's not done with you. Maybe God's calling you to some sort of vocational ministry, to be some sort of pastor, missionary, leader, to help equip the saints for ministry. But here's what I'm convinced, that Jesus calls all of his followers to serve in some capacity. So maybe the prayer should be, God, how do you want me to serve? If I'm not serving, God, how do you want me to serve? If there's things keeping me from serving, maybe it's, God, what's keeping me from it? If it's sin or this or that, the solution's repent and serve. Or listen, maybe the call during this time and the response during this time, maybe we got some Marthas here that do 88 things when one thing's necessary. Maybe it's, God, I'm going to leave some service for some others coming up. And I'm going to run how you've gifted me. I'm going to run with how you've gifted me and what you've made me passionate about. Whatever God leads during this time, let's respond. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I pray that we will be sensitive, that we'll all be sensitive, whether you're calling someone here for salvation or you're calling someone towards missions or ministry, whether you're calling someone to be involved in Awana or to lead a small group, whether you're calling someone to be more involved behind the scenes, like pulling wire, things that we have coming up that no one even really sees. God, maybe you're calling some Marthas here to lay some things down. God, thank you that you speak. Let us sit at your feet so we can joyfully serve you out of the overflow of our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.